Yes, yes, yes. We back again. It's Tuesday, another glorious Tuesday. It's your men's and them, DJ Bobby Hustle and my guy,
That Vato Capo.
Guaranteed to get your plug for $1 million and two iced at Audemars Piguets with the icy stones.
Oh,
yeah, you know how. Hey man, we got to level up, man. It's a beautiful Tuesday, man.
On a Tuesday though, Bobby.
On Tuesday, man. You know, we just now getting the week going. If you just now getting your week going, hopefully you got Monday out the way. You done went ahead and ate that elephant, and now we on the Tuesday. We in full momentum. Hopefully we can get you enough juice to get you over this hump tomorrow and back for your next dose on Thursday, man. If this is your first time here, the first time you clicked on the link, you just want to see what AMP is. What's it all about? Well, AMP is live radio reimagined, and the audio meds were the only known cure to insanity. And Capo, that's a proven fact.
That is a proven fact, Bobby. Look it up, guys. Google that shit, all right? So, like you said, it's Tuesday, and like we always do about this time, we got to get into it, man. We got a great show for him. We got a bunch of dope, interesting topics of discussions to talk about. Man, we got a fire-ass playlist today. We got a bunch of new records that we're going to be premiering. We got a special guest joining us today, Bobby. I'm super hype about this one. He's bringing some heat. I'm talking about some heat. All right, so before we get into all of that, though, make sure y'all jump in the chat, show some love, hit that heart button, show some love. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend and turn on your notifications so every time we go live, you can tune in. But, Bobby... I think you know what time it is, doggy.
Man, you already know what time it is, man. It's time for that quick mix. Yeah, boss.
Let's go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, Marquis Clay. Studio gangster, man. Oh, buddy, yeah. Snapping on that. He got bars, man. I love it. I love it when people have bars, man, and they be snapping. And you know what else I love, Capo?
What's that?
I love Tuesdays, man. I love Tuesdays. You know why I love Tuesdays? Because you got the hard part out the way. Monday is always, everybody always dreads Monday. I like Mondays because Monday means like more Monday. Money on a Monday. But, you know, notoriously, Monday gets a bad name, you know, because it's the start of the week. But, you know, you got to face it. Once you go ahead and get Monday out the way, you know, Tuesday, you're like, okay, I can do this thing. I'm out here.
I tend to start Monday off moving 100 miles per hour, and then Tuesday normally kicks my ass. But I feel you. I feel you. I'm in the same boat. I try to stay positive on a Tuesday and look at it as, shit, we almost there. We almost halfway through the week.
We almost halfway through the week. That's what I'm saying. It's like Tuesday is like you done ripped the Band-Aid off. It's full flame. Ain't no turning back now, man. I'm feeling good, man. You know how, I'm feeling so good, man. You know how good I'm feeling, Capo.
Man, how good you feeling, Bobby?
Man, I'm almost feeling as good as your mans and them, Snoop Dogg and E-40.
Ooh.
I don't know if you heard, but they are combining their powers to launch a cookbook.
Uh-oh.
That's right. You heard me.
E-40 and Snoop cookbook?
E-40 and Snoop cookbook is called Goons with Spoons. And, you know, it's called Goon with the Spoon. He's a goon with the spoon.
Yes,
which
sir.
Means, you know, whipping I get up. It. It's like, you know, I'll be a goon in the kitchen when I can. You know, air fry, you done change the game. But, you know, they are working together. It's supposed to drop November 14th by Chronicle Books. And it's going to feature over 65 recipes, including meals that the duo cooked and ate together. Photos of the rappers chopping it up and eating in the kitchen.
Have they released any of the meals that might be featured in the book?
As of yet, no, everything's still under wraps. They're just giving us the little teaser right now. You know, they don't want no leaks because once it leaks, it's leaked. You know, we want you to go buy the book. So no leaks.
Yeah, well,
no
I mean, leak. Sometimes they might drop like, here's two recipes off the first page. Try these just to get a sample. And you know what I'm saying? But like, you never know.
I mean,
know,
we
man.
Got
like,
enough faith in Snoop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's like, that's what I'm wondering though. Is it going to be like a hearty meal or is it going to be like, you know, exotic grilled cheese? Is it gonna be infused?
It's all the above.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right?
Especially infused. You know, because you know, Snoop has already done several projects with Martha Stewart. You know, on some cooking stuff, and he also has his Broadest Foods, where they got the Snoop cereal and all his other food products. And he also donates profits to Doors to Hope. You know, for his his charitable foundations. And of course, E40 also has a restaurant with Lumpia. I guess that's Lumpia in the Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, they both have their hands in the cooking game and the food.
They got their hams in there.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, like, speaking of some GOAT rappers, once again, we spoke about Jay-Z last week.
Yes.
And I heard Jay-Z's back in the news once again with some great news, and he's probably feeling just as good as we are today, bro.
Absolutely. Man, Jay-Z feels good every single day, man. It's just like, it's got to be also being Jay-Z. Like, once again, he set another record. Jay-Z is now officially the first black male recording artist to have at least 10 double platinum or multi-platinum solo studio albums. So, like, Jigga Man.
Hey! I think it's safe to say that's a goat.
That's definitely
a goat. goat status, dog. Yeah, he's killing goat it, man. Status, man. What was it again? What was the record?
The first black male artist to have 10 multi-platinum solo studio albums, at least.
Damn, dog. That's not an easy accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, because he's the only one that's done it of his kind. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Come on. That's not, you know, shit, man. But yeah, Bobby, we got a good one today, bro. We got
absolutely
a good one.
Absolutely, man. I'm feeling great, man. We got a dope artist on the table. Just coming through, man. I was checking him out. I'm like, okay, Capo, we might have another winner from the Bill, baby.
Man, there's so much talent coming out of the city, bro. And I love it when we come across those diamonds in the rough. You know what I'm saying? Like, are right there, man. But I don't even want to get too much into it, because after we play this record, we're going to come back and we have a special guest joining us, and I can't wait to get to it. How about you,
Absolutely. Bob? Man, we're about to get to it like a can of fluid, man. Let's go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man.
Oh. There we go. Bobby. Yes. Like we always do about this time, man, I always get hyped right about now, because it's no secret, we always have super dope guests on every dose of Audio Meds. Today is no different. Our guest today hails from St. Louis, Missouri, by way of Nashville, where he was raised. He's known for his southern roots over trap beats, but with more of an introspective lyrics and razor sharp content. I'm talking about this man spits at the highest level. All right, so you can tell he's been doing this for a minute. He's been practicing his craft, and he is coming correct, and he might be next up out of Nashville. And that's what this next segment, the On the Way Up segment, is all about. It's all about shining light on artists that are right there. You might go to sleep today and what? Wake up tomorrow and he's on. So I need y'all to make some noise for the one, the only, our guy, Emery James.
Yes, sir. Yo, check that mic button.
Is he there?
Thank you. Yo, I'm here.
Hey, there we go. What's up, my man?
Man, hey. I'm good, man. Am I coming across loud and clear?
Yeah, clear. We got you. Clear. First,
man. Wonderful.
First, let us say, man, we know that you're an extremely busy man. You got a lot going on, tons of content coming out in the studio, doing a million things. So we appreciate you taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to join us on Audio Meds.
Hey, man, it's an absolute pleasure to even be here, bro. Capo knows, man, that's family. All you had to do is drop a line and I was going to be here regardless. So just thank y'all for having me on, man. I'm super excited to be here.
Man, absolutely. I'm super excited that you're here, because I've been diving into the project, man, and I'm excited to get into it, bro. Man, I'm catching the vibe on it.
And that's the thing is, like, surprisingly, you know, Bobby, we've had several guests come on the past few doses that have mentioned projects, right? Now, I think Emery James is approaching this whole thing a little bit differently, which a lot of people are on the single game, you know, being able to roll those out. But I mean, you've been on a steady grind, dog, with song after song after song. Like when did this whole campaign start, bro?
Man, we just had our official Emery James birthday. It's been about a year ago, man. Well, obviously it'd be a birthday, it's been a year or so. But yeah, man, 2022, summer of 22, we got this doing this, involved a lot of cool people. And like you said, man, we just thought we'd do it differently, approach it doing singles versus doing an album or a project. Because I'm going to tell people, like they told me, man, nobody's waiting for your album. Like, and I think a lot of people need to hear that, because in order to really generate something, man, you got to keep people's attention. And that's what the people around me, they care about the direction that I take and the growth that I could potentially see. They told me, because I came to the table like, yo, I want to do this album. They were like, nah, bro, nobody's waiting for an album. So it's just like, how can we build something real? How can we get people on the hook and keep feeding them? You know, how can we figure out who's going to be engaged by what, and then retarget those that, you know, show engagement? So, you know, a year later, the shit feels good, man. I think we're doing something that's working. Everything sounds good. At least I think so. At least that's what people tell me. So, yeah, man. Thank you, man. The flowers. You know, I appreciate the flowers, bro. I hope we're up. I hope we are up next. We trying. We definitely trying to do something.
Yeah, man. Of course, dog. And I mean, not trying. You guys are doing. You know what I'm saying? Like the city's definitely moving. There's a handful of artists that are really, honestly, my personal opinion, that are doing it right. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a handful of artists that are really doing it right, and it just takes a matter of time. So how do you feel like it's been working for you in that sense of, as far as like single after single, and not only that, is having to stay on top of the content? Like, do you feel like that's more stressful for an artist? Or like, are you focusing more on trying to create content now compared to creating the music side?
You know, it's a mixed bag. Damn, Capo is a lot, man. You know I smoke pot, bro. My memory ain't the best, man. These four-layer questions and shit.
My bad, bro.
For me personally, I think, though, I'm going to try to get all of that in there. Doing the singles has been a challenge, but it also forced me as an artist to become, you know, a lot more organized. I think, for me personally, if it was just like, let's do an album, you put all your eggs in one basket and just hope that you get a bunch of shit out of it. With the single game, it was a slower process. Like, I think when you start anything, you have to go into it knowing that this shit's not going to happen overnight. This is a commitment of 2 or 3 years before we even start gauging how cool is this? How real is this? So, like, when we got started, it was more of just like, James, are you ready to make the commitment, you know what I'm saying, to the process? Mm-hmm. A year later, yeah, it's hard to keep the ball bouncing at times. Being a rapper the right way is fucking expensive. And anybody that tells you anything else is bullshitting, and they try to sugarcoat this shit. Yo, rapping is the most expensive thing I do. I do a lot of shit just to rap. You feel me? Like, it's an expensive endeavor. But in the end, I know this shit will pay off. Because for one, I'm going to do something in the city that a lot of niggas just can't seem to do. And that's not give up. I'm just done with the quitting shit. I'm done with the stopping shit. Like, I'm going to really take this ride for a long fucking time, man. And it's like, that's my biggest thing, man. When I get platforms like this, like, I'm challenging everybody in the city. Like, a lot of y'all dope, but a lot of y'all quit too much. A lot of y'all find excuses to hit the brake pedal. Like, let's go. The reason we always complain about why Nashville ain't where Nashville's supposed to be is because you niggas ain't working.
Oh, this is so true.
I'm done. It's sad, though, bro, because it's like there has to be somebody that's willing to put it on their back and say, yo, I'm a beady example of hard work, of perseverance, of stamina, and fucking consistency. And watch, in 2 or 3 years, I'm going to holler at y'all, and we'll see who's where. we'll see who's where.
I can feel it coming across. I can feel it coming across. So, like, you know, just listening to you talk and some of the things that you're saying, I can tell that you're a professional and that you are taking it serious. Like you was talking about targeting and retargeting. So you definitely understand marketing and, like you said, the work ethic and that you're trying to get people to be waiting for a project. So, right. You know, as an independent artist that's working right now in Nashville, what is some of the things that you find are working for you as an independent with your marketing? Because everybody's like, either you got to do reels or you got to get out on the streets. Do you do a mix of guerrilla? Are you strictly online? What's working for you?
I think the main thing that worked for me off the gate was I got over the coming soon and started focusing on the available now. That shit is a game changer. That's a game changer. I'm giving game. I don't even call this game, bro. This is called game. It's that old nigga shit. Look, man. Look, I've been out here for a minute. Listen to me. You got to focus on the available now. Stop focusing on coming soon. Again, nobody's waiting for that shit. Nobody. So let's talk about what's here now. I do a mix of shit. Like, I've personally gotten to... I'm big on putting my feet on the ground and being in situations to allow me to face-to-face network. I'm a big dude. I'm 6'5", 300 pounds. My energy is something else. So when I get in rooms, people more than often just want to know who the fuck I am. So that for me is important. I use my energy to my advantage. So yeah, guerrilla marketing, being in the city, being in nice establishments, just letting people know I'm a good vibe, I'm good money. That's, you know, that's a big part of what I do.
Yeah.
But I also do, I spend a lot of money through running actual ads through the back door of all these platforms. It's one thing to boost a post. Anybody can boost a post. Listen, get on meta.business.com and go in the ads manager section and build you a real ad and really put some money on that ad and sit back and watch that ad work. Target some areas outside of your immediate city. Like, I started looking into shit like, yo, I work with a great studio, man. I work out at home studio on Main Street, helping our music evolve. It's more than a studio. It's more than a studio. It's a great platform for education. And they're teaching me a lot about marketing and advertising, how to really build artistry. And it's just like, bro, it takes money. But if you spend the money properly in markets where your money's strong and the wins are a lot easier.
Yeah, you get a return on it. And that's the thing is, like, you were saying, you were saying stop focusing on the coming soon. And I think that's kind of the society today is like, everybody's so caught up on the announcement of everything. And then once you announce something, it dies down. So everybody's always focused on the next announcement. And instead of doing the work after they make the announcement, everyone wants to just announce something, you know, big announcement tomorrow. We just did this. We doing this. We do that. But then once they announce it, everything stops. And then they have to figure out how to announce something else next. Mm-hmm. And then it's a never ending cycle. You know what I'm saying?
Announcements, and no work
in between the shit.
So look, one of my biggest pet peeves, man, is like the rap artists, the rap community, we will always complain about how fast the game is. Like, oh man, you drop something and they're ready for something new. And, you know, I thought I had to drop something every week. We are creating that environment.
Exactly.
We envy country music because a country music artist drops an album or drops a single and gets to work it for 2, 3, 4 fucking years and gets to get all the money that's ever been available off that record. Whereas a rap artist, you feel like you got to drop a new single once a month. That pressure we create, you know, so I got big on like, this is available now. I still talk about the records I dropped 8 months, 12 months, 10 months ago because they're still hot. They're still relative.
Yeah.
There's still people that haven't heard them.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say is there's people out there that haven't heard that shit. And it's like, not only that, it's like, if you don't give a fuck enough about your music to continuously push it and show love to your own music, why the fuck would I care about your record? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So, I mean, but like you said, you know, the thing is like, It can work for not only country artists, it can work for hip hop artists as well. I mean, if you look at Lil Uzi Vert, I mean, his last album was 2017, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he just dropped the Pink Tape, which went to number one on Billboard. The first record on a hip hop record that reached number one on Billboard this year, and we've had a drought. You know what I'm saying? There's been a drought. Now, I'm not saying I'm a fan of the album. I'm just saying he was more about the holding it back and not trying to force feed a ton of music and stay up with the trend and every week dropping something, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he sat back and, but don't get me wrong, he was doing a gang of shit behind the scenes and still feeding his fans. But man, it had been a minute and that had built that hunger from his fans and everybody wanted it. So what happened when he dropped? Boom, that shit skyrocketed. Yeah, now, granted, he is an established artist. So, you know, in your sense, you know, what we're talking about is artists that are still trying to become established and build that fan base. So it's almost impossible for you to take a year off because there's no longer that luxury of having downtime. You know what I'm saying? And like, and me and Bobby were talking about this last show where we were discussing the older generation saying that the younger generation has it easier, and then the younger generation saying that the older generation had it easier because, but I mean, if you look at it, the younger generation, or I'm not even going to say the younger, I'm going to say today's music and how it's released and pushed. Artists today have it so difficult. Not only, okay, yes, we have DSPs where you can distribute to a million people with the click of a button, with millions of people out there and on all kinds of platforms, but you're also competing with all these people, you know what I'm saying? So, and then you also have to continuously come up with content daily. And speaking of coming up with content, you have something that's pretty, pretty dope that you do, on a regular basis called, Morning Wood with Emery, right?
Boing. Yeah, that's me.
Boing. Yeah.
That's the immature kid in me, man. I feel like if there was ever a sound that stood for a boner, it was that boing sound.
Boing. Boing.
But yeah, man. Yeah, content, bro. Content's king, man. You gotta just do shit that feels good, man, and have fun with it. That shit wasn't supposed to be nothing. That's just me, bro. I always be smoking early in the morning because I be up before everybody, and then I be hyper. So it's like, let me blow something good, get my mind right. And then, like, I used to years ago, bro, like, always get on my Facebook Live and just be like a motivational dude. I just believe in, like, the law of attraction. Yo, you get from the universe what you put into it. So it's like, I wake up every day and I just try to smile big as fuck and be like, yo, my life is great. And maybe if I just tell people that, like, my life used to suck, I started just being happy, and now my shit lit. Just go be happy. Just be lit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And people be like, hey, people be coming down and be like, it's not genuine, bro. Like, I swear to God, I'm the happiest dude in the world, man. Like,
I can hear it in you. I can hear it in you. I can hear it in you. You got a good energy. And like, you know, with the thing, like you said, with the whole Morning Wood, how it was just something that you was just doing authentically that people just caught on to because it's authentically you. You know, and like with the content, I know you was talking about using the Meta Business Suite and doing the advertisements. I think a lot of artists, independent artists these days, are not really, it goes over their head sometimes that at the essence of this whole new wave of music, it boils down to, it's really, you're really just promoting and selling a digital product online. And it just happens to be your album and your record. And a lot of artists miss that whole aspect of it and don't fully take advantage of all the opportunities it is to market and promote and build an audience and a list and a database of people who are interested in your digital product using, you know, like you said, the Meta Business Suite and running targeted ads and not boosting some things like that. But seeing that you actually kind of have an idea about that's going to kind of gives you, I would say, ahead of the game against a lot of independent artists who just focused on making the music and not fully taking advantage of the marketing tools that are available.
I think the one thing is like, and I used to come down hard on artists when they would, you know, I'm like, man, you guys, you know, you're not looking into this, you're not doing that, you know, it's like there's so many things you could be doing and you're not taking advantage of it. But then I started looking at it and realizing that some artists, that's all they are. They're just artists, right? Like, they're not good businessmen. They don't know. It's like, to be a successful independent artist, you also have to be good at business and be able to run a business. And if you don't know how to run a business or properly market a business or product or anything like that, you're not going to be successful independently. And that's why it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can focus on your music, you can, but you have to either, you know, sign up with someone that's going to promote or have a team around you that's going to promote for you.
Absolutely.
Or you need to get signed to a label. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's what I'm about to say. That, and that's the catch 22 of people like, should I sign or should I stay independent? Well, how much work are you really trying to do yourself?
Right. And how much percentage you trying to let go?
Right. So is the amount of work that you have to do worth the percentage that you have to pay somebody?
Yeah.
See, so, I mean, it is, man. It's a double-edged sword, you know, like, cause I work my ass off. Like, people, like, I don't have a job. Like, we really, I own a media company outside of being a hip-hop artist titled Nasty Media. So I do music videos, different types of content. So I do my part for what I think is, like, my little niche of the industry. But, I mean, you got to run these ads. You got to do, you got to use every bit of this machine that's possible, or you're going to just get left in the dust. Being an artist is not enough. I was just an artist for 10 years and got nowhere because I thought all I had to do was rap and I would get somewhere. I was cool enough. Nah, bro. I don't care how good of a rapper you are. That's not how it works.
That's right. Because money can get you a lot of things, Bobby. But what's one thing it can't get you?
Money can get you a lot of stuff, a lot of places. But one thing that money can't get you, now, Emery, I'm segueing into it. You know, usually I let you give the whole spiel, the background behind it, but the segue is so good. We're about to get into this record off of Emery James. This money can't buy you love. Emery James, this money can't buy you love.
Come on.
Hey, I'm just about to drop it, man. I'm just about to drop it.
This is my shit.
You know how we do. You know how we do. Tap that plus button and turn it to a check.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for yous.
Y'all just tapping in, man. Y'all just tapping in. It's your meds and them. It's the audio meds. DJ Bobby Hustle, Dead Vato Capo. We got a super special guest on the line, Emery James. Make sure y'all tap that hard button. Show some love. Let's go.
Man, yo, that record was real as fuck. That's man, that's my shit, dog. I caught myself riding around to that earlier today and just had that shit on repeat, bro. Like, I was just riding, homie. That shit was
dope. Man, I appreciate it, bro. I think that record goes over a lot of people's head, man. I think it comes off so lighthearted, bro, but like, just to, you know, I got to give it a quick synopsis, man. Like, it's a very simple track. If you listen to it, I'm talking real business, man. Like, get your LLC, man. Like, invest, focus on your ROI. But in the end, bro, like, you can do all that shit. You can get in your bag because that's where I be in my bag. But that don't matter because you can do all that. They still won't love you. You can buy it all, but you can't buy that love, man. You got to keep going, keep your chin up, and keep fucking swinging, baby. Keep swinging.
He said, keep swinging. But I think that's one of them records that, you know, you have to be able to relate to it to feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can relate to it, it's your shit. And that's one of them records.
That's get money music. That's get money music.
That's some get money music.
That's that bag music, baby. Hell yeah.
That bag music. All right. So Emery, man, originally from St. Louis. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. Born in St. Louis, man. But only there for a short period of time as far as, like, being a resident. We moved to Nashville when I was 4 years old. But my entire family is St. Louis. So every summer, every holiday, Christmas, you know, spring breaks, we was right back in the city. So I always, like, held on real tight to my St. Louis roots because I always thought St. Louis was really fucking cool. You feel me?
Man, I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Like, I was in St. Louis this weekend with Project Pat. Had a dope show. But, yo, St.
Louis. Where was y'all at?
We was at the Hawthorne. It's the Hawthorne. It's a new venue. Just opened. It's 1,200 cap room. Super nice, man. Beautiful venue. But yeah, we were there. It was packed out. Great event. But I did not know how grimy St. Louis was, bro. Like, I didn't know.
Hey, That's the fucking murder capital, man.
Dog, I did not, like, I didn't, I went there thinking it was, like, I'm sitting there thinking of, like, Louisville. You know what I'm saying? Like, for some reason, I thought it was going to have that, like, almost like a Nashville vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Would you cross that bridge? I've been to St. Louis a few times. Would you cross that bridge? Yeah, like, no, said, to get to New Orleans, as soon as you cross that bridge, it's like it gets real in the field.
You go across the Mississippi, man, and hit the streets of St. Louis, bro. It's a different world. I'm from the near north side of St. Louis, Natural Bridge area, man. Like, I don't know how to tell you. Like, I took my girl there recently, and I kind of took her there because I always talk about just how hard it is where we're from. Mm-hmm. And I thought her response would be more like, damn, it's crazy out here. This shit's tight. Nah, she was super upset, like, damn, people live like this. This is sad as fuck. Like, and I try to tell people, man, like, being from Nashville is dope because it still harbors dreams. Like, it fosters the desire and the dream of having more. When you're from somewhere like St. Louis and that's what you see every day.
It's hard to dream.
It's hard to think you're ever going to get away from that shit, man. Yeah. I know niggas from St. Louis that never left St. Louis. They're still there today. They don't know nothing but the 8 blocks around their spot. It's just crazy to me. Wow.
So you know, there's a new artist that just came out from St. Louis, Sexy Red, who's kind of moving right now, doing a lot in the game, linked up with Tay Keith, has some huge records, and she's in some hot water right now because she visited high school or middle school. I'm sorry, and she when she came out into the assembly, she came out, and I don't even know what school is in right now. I thought it's summer break, but she came out at a school full of kids and was, you know, sticking up her middle fingers and then throwing up blood. And so everybody came down on her talking all this, you know what I'm saying? Then they were like, why would the school even have her out there? Because her lyrics are super controversial and really, you know, just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like porn talk, bro. So real shit is like porn talk. But the thing is like, she came back and she goes, well, you know, I was at the school to donate money to the girls, or to give the boys money for haircuts and suits or whatever to go to the prom, and girls to have get their hair done, you know what I'm saying? So that shit blew my mind. But I mean, how do you feel about that? Like, is that something that you feel is like, because what she did to give back, it justifies her actions?
I think more than anything, what it is, man, is that although she may be as provocative as she is, as dirty, as ratchet as she can be, she is still a symbol of hope for the children in that city who have nothing at all. Mm. And if her getting on that stage that gave them kids a drop of sunshine and their life full of rain, I don't give a fuck. I really don't, man.
Yeah, that's really a great way to look at it.
Because, I mean, again, these kids in these cities like that, they even Detroit's better. You know, Detroit got recreational weed. Them niggas got 100-pound packs, and they straight up there now. You know what I'm saying? St. Louis, St. Louis went recreational this year, but it's still so new. You haven't had like the influx of big business cannabis. Exactly, so it's still very much the trenches up there. So now, like, I think this is just cancel culture. I think if you don't adhere to the expectation of popular media these days, you're taking a risk of getting some bullshit back. But for every person that may think about Sexy Red differently, I guarantee she picked up 1,000 fans that day that'll rock with her to the end of time, because she really showed up and showed out for them kids who don't get anything but wanded by metal detectors every day and searched randomly.
Like, I
salute her.
My thing was like this: you think those kids aren't seeing people throwing up middle fingers or gang signs on a regular basis? That shit ain't new to them. Get the fuck out of here.
I was gonna say the teachers that booked them already was listening to the songs anyway, so they already knew what it was. But
come on, man. Them kids are picking their guns up out the bushes when they come out of school on their walk home. Them kids ain't like nothing you ever seen in Nashville, I promise you that.
Right. So Emery, man, so you know, I'm like listening to you, and a lot of people listening to, we can hear this passion and this energy in your voice, man. And I know in your bio said you've been doing music since you was a teen. But like, you know, just through this conversation, I can hear a lot of intellect in you, that you know a lot about different things, marketing. I can see you into politics and all that stuff. So with all the choices that you have, the paths that you could have took in life, at what point was it that you was like, yo, this music shit is what I'm about to do, and I'm about to go hard to die for it?
Man, so crazy enough, yo, I quit probably 2 years ago. I caught a case in with like 2020 over some bullshit at my house. Three aggravated felony charges for, you know, or three aggravated gun assault charges. And it shut me down. Like, up until that, man, I wasn't Emery James. I was James M. I was a positive-minded rapper. I was an owner of a nonprofit organization, a 501c3 titled the Anti-Bully Coalition. I was on my Save the Kids mission. I didn't cuss. I didn't trap. I ain't do shit. I caught a case. That shit really derailed me. It was during COVID. The case took 2 years. And, you know, I beat the case. I was innocent the whole time. I had unexpected visitors, man, and I came outside with that yappa. And I was gonna let that motherfucker chop if it had to come to it. But in the end, man, that reckless decision cost me like $12,500. You know what I'm saying? And them lawyers ain't no joke. But shout out to my lawyer, Will Fraley, in Murfreesboro. If you ever get in trouble, Rutherford County, he got you. He ain't cheap, but you'll go home. I promise you that.
He said, hey, look.
You'll go home. Hey, Will Fraley. Hey, look, his motto is, if you got Franklin's, you got Fraley. So if you got your bag right, bro.
Hey,
you got your bag right. Go holler at him.
I love it.
But yo, that case really broke my spirit. So I had decided to quit doing music, man. My partner, my business partner, is a guy by the name of Black Cash, at I Am Black Cash on Twitter, on Instagram. That's my dog, you know what I'm saying? He's my co-owner of Nasty Media, co-owner of Nasty Music, and we're just best friends. And I was done, y'all. I was really on my, like, I'm finna go be a dad. I don't know how I'm gonna get past this. I gotta get a job. And bro was just like, no, man, like, you got a story now. Like, you got a purpose. Like, you've always been him. You just need to really lean into it. And bro all but just begged me, like, don't give up yet. And, you know, we got in the fucking foxhole, man. We started really thinking, like, could we do it again? You know, I'm an older brother, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm not ashamed to say that shit. But, like, I'm seasoned. You know what I'm saying? I'm like fine wine out here. I understand what I'm doing now. So it's like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Let me pop my shit. Hold up. Like, so I, yeah, man, it just came naturally, bro. We got back to it. I decided I wasn't done. I wanted to rebrand because the name James F. was never able to be. It wasn't searchable. Google would just bury me behind LeBron James and everything else, and that was just done.
Right.
So, so, you know, like, shout out to Small Axe, you know what I'm saying? I reached out to the guys at Small Axe and was like, yo, I'm thinking about being Emery Jones. They were like, nah, that's stupid. That's someone's name. You're going to deal with the Rick Ross situation. Then it was like, let's do Emery James, but let's spell James differently. That's where the J-A-Y-M-Z came into play. And after that, it was just like, everything kind of fell into place, man. The support that we needed from just like clothing people and engineers, studios, beats, like the videographer that came into play. And man, that was a year ago. We started, you know, the discussion was, listen, simply, it'll take a year for you to fall in love with it, 2 years for you to know if it was worth the fuck, 3 years for you to see it win. Are you committed? And I was just like,
up?
I was like, fuck it, man. We ain't got shit else, man. This is my Super Bowl, bro. This is the lottery to me. I'm done with scratch-offs, man. I bought $100,000 worth of tickets. We're going to hopefully get a winner out of this motherfucker.
Right.
But in the end, I swear they'll hate me because I'll be the old, fat, grayed-out nigga rapping his ass off out here giving these young niggas hell because I'm not going to quit. I'm really not going to quit.
But you know, and that's super dope, bro. And I know what came out of that. One thing that came out of that whole situation was the case dismissed record, right?
Yeah, that was the one, bro. I wrote that the day I bombed it out.
Look at that.
Okay.
Look at that. But that's the shit I'm talking about. That's the shit I'm talking about.
Everything but the last four or five bars. Yeah, that was a powerful moment, man. You know, it's nothing like when you sit in that box and they really look at you like, nah, you don't get to go home. And you're like, oh, whoa, whoa, I didn't do nothing. You know, so I know my rights, man. I had never been in trouble. Niggas be like, you ain't never been in trouble, man. You ain't really about that life. No, nigga, I'm not stupid. I know exactly what the fuck I'm doing. I know what the if you know, you know, nigga. I know what the fuck I'm doing. You feel me? So
you mean you ain't got God like
you niggas be slipping, bro. I put my cleats on, bro. I grip up and get this shit done. You feel me? So it's like, man, yeah, from that moment came a lot of cool shit, man. It came a balance of energy. It let me realize, bro, like, the sad part about it is, man, the way the machine's oiled these days, they don't want to see nothing positive really win right now. Like, they want us to fucking give our people poison and tell them all the bad things of the world and encourage them to pop pills, drink lean, and ride around with a 30 until they catch a felony. That's what they want us to tell our people to do, and it's sad, but as an artist, I really had that moment where I was like, well, fuck, I got to give them a little bit of that shit, get their attention, get in the door, and then when I get my platform, I'll make a change in the game. I'll be the change I want to see. But until then, fuck it, man. We finna thug it out of their ass and give them this. Hey, look. I think it all makes sense. If you think about it, I'm going to give you this last gem. Like, my brand is adult contemporary trap music. I don't pretend to be young. I pretend to understand what the fuck I'm doing, man. Like, we still get it out the mud. We still get to this bag. This is real, man. This is authentic. We do this shit because it feels good. Nothing less.
Hey, man. Absolutely, man. And salute to you on that. And, like, just, you know, hearing everything you said, what'd you say? It's going to take you 3 years to know if it's going to be a winner or not. Like, you know, you're very, very intelligent human being. You know, you are also a marketer. You understand macroeconomics, investing, flipping your money, ROI. So it's like, smart man. If you've seen the show before, Emery, man, we got to twist your arm just a little bit, man. Bro, play a little bit of Street Smarts trivia, bro.
Let's go.
That's right.
That's right. It's time for DJ Bobby Hustle and that Vato Capo and Street Smarts trivia.
Ding! Guaranteed to get you a plug. Okay, if you've seen the show before, you know this is the part of the show where we play the game. All we're going to do is test your hip-hop knowledge by playing a little bit of Street Smarts trivia and a little bit of hip-hop history. We're going to ask you a question. All you got to do is give us an answer.
Easy as that.
All right, so the first category is hip-hop history. And the question is, Corrupt and Daz were part of what legendary hip hop group? Was it
A, the Eastsiders, B, the Dog Pound, or C, West Side Connection?
Come on, man. Old Crip, the Dog Pound.
Is that the final answer?
It's my final answer.
Hey! Little Snoop will whoop my ass.
Okay.
He came out swinging, Bobby. He came out, but it was low hanging fruit.
It was low hanging fruit. That's Adam and Eve, man. You the serpent, man. Okay. All right, we got another one for you. We got another one for you, man. So this is right here.
Excuse me, I'm gonna need to see some identification.
It's called ID check. We're gonna read your government name, and all you got to do is tell us who it is. My government name is Cornell Arell Haynes Jr. Am I
A, Killer Mike, B, Nelly, or C, 2 Chainz?
That's Nelly, man. Come on, you gonna tell me a St. Louis nigga, guys? Come on, man.
We're gonna let you have the Hardee's commercial. We know he had the Cornell Hayes Jr. meal at Hardee's. Okay, that was easy.
Yeah, all right.
Capo, I think this is your favorite category.
Man, who said that shit?
You know it. All right, so basically, I'm just gonna read you some lyrics, and all you gotta do is tell us who said that shit. Easy as that.
Come on.
All right. You can ask the hoe to leave once the bitch pack her shit. Hurry up and run them streets. Two things I ain't never in my life done seen before is a UFO or a hoe that wouldn't go. Who said that shit?
Oh, my God.
We may have got him, Bobby. Oh. We may have got him.
Uh-oh.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I don't know why I want to say Crunchy Black, but I might be wrong, bro. I don't know. You might have got me.
He said, "You might have got me.
You might have got me, gang."
You gonna give up? You gonna throw in the towel?
You want to hear it one more time?
Okay, give me one more time if you want to do it. Yes, please.
All right. You can ask the hoe to leave once that bitch pack her shit, hurry up and run them streets. Two things I ain't never in my life done seen before was a UFO or a hoe that wouldn't go. Who said that shit?
Yeah, y'all got me. I can't get it out of my head. It's only 6 months on. I feel like a scrub.
Man, it's so crazy because once we play this, you're going to be so mad at yourself, man.
It's the cadence. I couldn't say the same cadence, man.
But here's the thing, bro. The one thing that you have to do in life is you have to trust your guts.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Man, welcome back to the show, man. If you're just now tapping in, it's the Audio Meds, the only known cure to insanity. You're listening live on AMP, and it's your man's and them, DJ Bobby Hustle, Dead Vato Capo, and we got a super duper special guest on the line, Mr. Emery Jams.
Emery, man, I'm pissed. Well, I said, they said crunchy bread. I don't know why that came out of my mouth, but that's all God bless, man. All right, next topic.
He said, man, hey, you were close. You were in the same vicinity, dog. You were right there.
God.
Man, so we know you've been with the singles and singles, and one thing... I seen some people in the chat and they were, you know, saying the song's fire. What do they say? Old school vibe, all kinds of stuff, man. But it's, you have a unique sound. Like when you listen, so you're from St. Louis, you grew up in Nashville, but when I hear you, the first thing that comes to mind, I wouldn't think Nashville. Now, why do you think that is? Like, do you feel like, I mean, just having that two city being back and forth, like, do you feel like that influenced your sound? Or
I don't think it's that at all, bro. I think it's that there's not a Nashville sound. So
let's talk about it.
I don't think anybody could ever be like, you don't sound like Nashville. Like, bro, I'm about as Nashville as it gets. Like, I went to high school at Hume Fog on fucking Broadway. Let's like, go. Come on, man. Like,
I'm in school, man.
And I'm obviously an intelligent guy. I didn't go to college, so that's really like a fucking joke right there. I don't know how that happened, but I had scholarships and everything, bro. I was like,
you had to.
I'm gonna be a rapper, bro. Like, but like, yeah, man. I don't think Nashville has a sound, and I think that's one of my driving forces behind what I do. And if you're ever around me, you'll hear me preach this. I'll get on a soapbox about this shit. I go as hard as I do because I do want to be one of the first sounds they hear from Nashville on a major level. If somebody like me makes it, the expectation for our city will be high caliber rap music. I'm not going to say any names, but if other rappers out here make it, then they're going to expect us to rap like other rappers. I don't want our image to be the same thing that you're seeing in these drill CDs, man, with everybody's got an extended magazine and it's not a video if you don't have a bunch of money and a gun and a Hellcat. Like, I think what Nashville does, man, is a little more tasteful. I think the reason Nashville has not had a major breakthrough artist since Young Buck is because we haven't given the city of Nashville something that they'll actually stand back and be like, yeah, we can fuck with this.
Yeah, no, this is all facts, bro. That we don't have. There's not an identity for Nashville right now.
Come on,
but it is such a melting pot. Like, there's so many people from, you know, different cultures and different styles of music, and not only that is we're up against a powerhouse called Memphis, which is running the fucking game right now. And Memphis is definitely known for hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's known for rap right now. It's running that shit. Nashville's known for country.
Memphis loves Memphis. That's what Memphis is known for, bro. I was talking to somebody about Memphis the other day, and they said it's because Memphis loves everything that's Memphis. If Nashville would learn to love Nashville, it would be different. We don't love ourselves. We hate ourselves.
But that's also because I feel like, once again, it comes to that identity. Like, Memphis has an identity, right? So, like, they can, you hear a certain way a word said, or you hear a certain style of music, and you know that's Memphis, and that's why you fall in love with it, right? Like, and I feel like Nashville, it's like there's a lot of artists trying to mimic sounds that are outside of us and trying to be like other cities so that they can fit in, instead of trying to create a sound that's coming from here. And you know, I mean, we have some of the best producers in the world here, you know what I'm saying? So we definitely need to break that cycle, man.
Yeah, it's like you said, man, it's the stigma, because I got my close homies, Cleves, he was on the line, he's from Memphis, and we went to school in Nashville, SAE, and like, he is diehard Memphis, like, you can't say nothing bad about Memphis, and he'll be ready to fight
proud.
You. So, like,
they're proud of it.
But one of the things that they're proud of is because it's like, the blood that runs through Memphis is black blues, urban blood. The soul is what runs through Memphis. Exactly. And that's what is propelling people to have something, like you said, to latch onto, to say, this is ours and we're proud of it. Where Nashville is, I hate to get into colors and shades, but country. And y'all can put any shade or tone y'all want with that.
I think it goes a layer level. It goes a little deeper than that too, though. I think Nashville is young. I think in comparison to every major metropolis across America, we're a teenager. Like, we're just now getting real crime. We're just now getting real dealerships for cars. Like, we're so behind the curve. Like, we just got ballet on Broadway this year, y'all. Like, we're very far behind the curve. So I think what you're seeing now is Nashville, as it starts to bloom and blossom into this real city, the opportunity for us to be taken serious is actually right now. Prior, if a motherfucker like with Buck popped and people rushed to Nashville, they got here and were like, this is it? What the fuck is this? You niggas ride up and down Broadway and Crown Vicks? What the fuck are y'all doing?
right. This is what y'all hype about?
Come on, man. Bro. We didn't have this shit. Like, when my family from St. Louis would come to Nashville, bro, they'd be like, what are we going to do? I'd be like, I don't know. Y'all want to go to Hickory Hollow Mall and ride around the parking lot? Like, I don't know. Y'all want to go to Grand Central Station and fuck with some white girls? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I remember those days, busting laps around the parking lot.
But as we stand here today, man, in our city, bro, like, you see us now, like, we're in our prime moment. Right now is when Nashville's going to really have that moment where one day soon, an artist from our city is going to do something big enough that every label across the fucking country comes here and starts grabbing artists. It's inevitable. We're not going to be able to be this it city without having a hip hop scene.
I mean, I tell you what, you know, it's already happening, right? A lot of these labels and execs are already here in the city. Empire just opened up an office in Nashville. They have, of course, they're dealing with country, but you already know they have an urban division, and you think that they're going to be in our city and not hear hip hop or urban artists and gravitate towards them. It's like, come on, man. We just, as a whole, artists need to do their part. The people behind the scenes playing, you know, the executive roles or management and stuff like that, they need to do their part. Producers need to do their part, and it all comes down to what you said, and that's just work and work you your ass work. Off. Yeah,
I need simple shit, man. Like, Nashville's got a problem with gatekeeping. Like, there's so many people in this city that could connect dots for artists and really make things happen that simply don't, because they feel they're owed a fee or they feel they're owed some fucking acknowledgement. Some people just need to get the fuck out the way and let these artists put the fuck on. Some of these producers need to come to some of these artists and be like, yo, I know you might not have my going rate, but let's split some publishing and let's make some fucking heat. Some of these artists need to quit being on these thrones they're standing on and stop expecting everybody to want to pay for a feature. Not everybody's like me. Like, I'm okay with buying beats, paying for features, paying you for whatever it is you do, because I own a business and I'm going to write that shit off my taxable income, period. But in the end, not everybody's where I'm at with this shit. And it's going to take us having this thing where I say it all the time. This shit's not about Emery James. Emery James is just a catalyst for Nashville rap. I just want to show the world that Nashville rap is strong enough to come fucking check it out. Come tap in. People are going to get sick of seeing me do it this big and be like, man, fuck this. I got to do it big as him. Who do his videos? Who make his beats? What studio do he record at? And by default, four or five niggas going to start to pop their shit the way I pop my shit. I'd say a couple of y'all's names, but I ain't going to be petty today. But I see a lot of y'all following. I see a lot of you little short, chubby motherfuckers following the formula, and it's cute. Keep it up, but you got to catch up, man, because I really do this. I really do this, bro. So I don't know, man.
Yikes. It got personal there. Hold on.
Hey, I'm a wolf, bro. I'm going to eat faces. I promise y'all keep playing with me.
For mayor.
And I want to say this too, bro, real quick. I don't buy no views. I don't buy no followers. I don't buy no likes. I may pay a platform to run promotion on my shit, but I pay the actual platform, not Joe Schmo, who told you he was going to do some sort of special algorithmic bullshit, and it went bought you, and it went bought you 30,000 views from China, my nigga.
Come on, bro. From China.
If your video dropped and it had five videos in the first 2 hours, I don't want to see 25,000 the next day. We know what you niggas is doing, and it's sad because you're ruining your algorithm. The machine is not going to engage you the second it detects that you're buying all this shit. But, I did it. James.
You know what, Emery? Like this is the thing that used to. I used to spend a lot of energy on trying to talk to artists about this shit, right? And then I realized, I was like, you know what? It's like the old saying, never argue with a dummy, because from afar, no one, you can't tell who's who, right? So my thing is like this. It's like, some people will never get it, right? Some people will always think that that's the right way to do it. Those are the, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is how you get on. This is their way into the game. This is the back door. And then some people get it. And those are the people that deserve to move forward. Those are the people that will have longevity. And I just started making, I made my mind up. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let those people do what the fuck they do and burn themselves out, because eventually, like you said, everyone quits in this city. If they don't see the results, they're going to quit. So eventually, you know, people come on the scene like, man, you heard about so-and-so, you heard about so-and-so, man, they're killing it. They're doing this, that, and the other. Give them a year. Let's talk in a year and see if they're still here. Give them 2 years. Let's talk in 2 years to see if there's nah, fuck that. Let's turn around in 5 years and see if these motherfuckers are still here putting in work, or are they still buying bots? You know what I'm saying? So I mean,
my dad used to say it great, man. You can lead a motherfucker to water, but you cannot make him drink. Rap shit is not a popularity contest. It's a business. And once you artists realize that, you'll see a difference. I promise you. I promise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So, all right, Emery, we got another record for you, man. You got, like, you dropping gems, you dropping knowledge, man. And so, like, we got another record from you right here. This record, Ride. So,
yeah, it's my
you've
baby.
Been pushing this record. It's your single. Me and Capo was just vibing to it. Like, it's dope. So, before we drop it, we'd like to give you a chance to put a precursor to it, to get everybody on the same page with you sonically, mentally, spiritually. What was going through your mind when you made this? How did the magic happen?
Man, this song right here, man, is the perspective of a kid growing up in Priest Lake, Antioch. Every day I would get up, I'd hit the corner store, I'd grab a t-shirt, you know what I'm saying, some sweet aromatics, I'd blow me a blunt, I'd wash my whip, and I'd take a ride, man, because in the end, bro, I did come from this is a small city. So it's like there wasn't really much to do ever, and there still really isn't that much to do, but get in your car and just bend some corners. So this was just like, imagine if you were sitting in the passenger seat with me, even though the passenger seat's a dime. So imagine you was in the back seat, and we just took a trip one day, man, riding through Antioch, sliding downtown, getting in traffic, and just doing that Nashville shit, man. So yeah, this is Rod, man, my new single, man. Video coming soon, man. Give me 2 weeks.
Hey, let's go.
2 weeks. Y'all heard it right here. So y'all know how we do at Audio Meds. Make sure y'all tap that plus button and turn it to a check.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio Meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man. That's your man's. Yeah. That's your man's Emery James, man. That ride, new single out. It's your man's in them.
DJ motherfucker's smooth, right? That motherfucker's smooth. Right?
Hey, yes.
Hey, bro. That joint smooth. That's a
blunt ride. That's a panty dropper. That's a blunt ride right there.
And a blunt ride. It's versatile. It's the same time.
It is. It can be both. Yes. But that's the thing. Is me and Bobby were diving through the catalog. We were going through it. Man, we had such a hard time picking two songs to play, bro. Like we just. I mean, we were over here. It was like, it came down to like, man, we're about to just shoot some dice to make this come shit on. Work. Because
thank you, man. Thank you.
Yes. Smoking Gas is definitely one of my favorites, man. Like, that's a fucking hard ass record. And it
What
goes
Up is
perfect.
My personal favorite.
Okay. What about What Up? What makes that your personal favorite, man?
Oh, I'm just talking shit, man. There's just a portion of that song, bro, where I'm just like, really, just the way I flick through the verse and the cadence of it is just I don't know, man. It's that. If you've never heard "What Up" by Emery James, please go play that record and listen to the verses, listen to the bars, man. That's what I do.
Google that shit, man. Google that shit. Okay, all right. So Emery, Mr. James. We did a little Street Smarts trivia. You did all right, man. You know, say you bobbed the weave, you know, chop chop chatterucus a little bit. So before we get you get out of here, we got one more thing we're gonna do. We gotta twist your arm just a little bit more. You light brown, so might see the red mark a little bit.
Oh. You know, you sound like my old lady. I'm dark. I'm dark, bro. I'm like Morris Chestnut.
Hey, whatever makes you feel good, baby. Whatever makes you feel good. Hey, I'm not a colorist. You know, I got red, green, so, you know. But we got one more section of the show, man, that we're going to do. It's called the hot seat. We're going to put you in the hot seat. It's a mental mind stimulation game. Basically, we're going to give you two options. Don't say both. Don't say neither. Say one or the other. And just do the first one that comes to your mind. Don't think about it. Don't lie. Be truthful.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so... here we go. Let me make sure I get you queued up with the good ones. All right. So our first one is light liquor or dark liquor?
Dark liquor.
Indica or sativa?
Indica.
A kick in the nuts or a poke in the eye?
Poke in the eye.
$10, $20 bills or $6, $50 bills?
Ooh, $6, $50 bills.
$50,000 up front or 50% of the back end?
50% of the back end.
Would you rather live a short and eventful life or a long and boring life?
Short and eventful. We can go tomorrow. We don't leave shit on the table, bro. We don't leave nothing on the table. We go crazy every day. Every day.
Hey, okay. That's all right. That says a lot about you.
Yes, sir. So, man, before we let you get out of here, man, let all the people know where they can find your music, where they can catch you on social media, where they can grab the merch, where they can watch Morningwood and tap in with you, homie.
And I keep it real simple, man. I was smart enough to get the same thing on everything. I'm at EmoryJaymz, Emery James, on everything, all social sites. You can Google me. My name's super easy to find. So punch me in anything. The shit's going to pop up. I challenge you to tell me a way you couldn't find me because I'm on everywhere. So, yeah, please come holler at me. Morning Woods is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. on my Instagram. It will be going to YouTube soon. We're getting everything lined up. Shout out Cairo. We working. Yo, we got some plans, man. We got some plans, man. And thank you to my team, man. Before y'all let me go, I got to say something to my team, man. If it wasn't for Small X, if it wasn't for Light League Music, if it wasn't for helping our music evolve, my brother Black Cash, my fiance Keith Street, my mother, my children, none of this shit would work. We do this because it feels good, nothing less, period.
That's dope, dog. Yeah, salute to your family. And make sure whatever you do, dog, I know you're dropping shit consistently, just make sure you come back and rock with us for another show and try to come back and sweep this Street Smarts trivia.
I'm on it. I'm on. I'm a tight up. I'm gonna be studying all season. I'm in a gym all season, coach. Whatever y'all call me up, I'm ready. Whatever y'all call me, I'm ready.
That's love, man.
So there you have it. Emery James, ladies and gentlemen. Salute to you, my brother. Hey.
Till next time, fam.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for yous.
Man, Gangstar, man, RP Guru, man, Gangstar, man, Mass Appeal. That's a classic record right there, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I actually celebrated his birthday yesterday. Man, yeah, rest in peace, dog.
Yeah, man, absolutely, man. And you know, we got a lot of legends, man. And you know, it's 50 years of hip hop, man. We've been celebrating this. It's like an ongoing celebration for, I guess, all year. Like, this is the 50th year. It's like, you know, some people's birthday party, they go all week. Some people's birthday party go all month. I think hip-hop's 50th Big 5-0 is going all year. We ain't stopping the celebration. We ain't stopping at all.
Nah, you can't, bro. And we need to keep going after this. We need to continue to celebrate all the ones who have come before us and the culture, period. You know what I'm saying? And keep this momentum going, man, because I think it gave everyone a little bit of a spark. You know what I'm saying? And everyone got a little bit more excited this year and started putting hip hop back to where it needed to be. I mean, all types of commercials and, you know what I'm saying? I'm seeing everyone trying to do something with hip hop.
It's so crazy. It's like almost how they corporatized Juneteenth now. Like now Target's got Juneteenth sales. It's like now they're going to have hip hop anniversary sales.
I see. Exactly. I seen Mustang just or Ford or something's doing some.
Yeah, I seen 50, that. Yeah,
some 50-year anniversary.
It was good. Like they did it right. They didn't do it bad. It's like when you do it tasteful and you do it with authenticity, it's okay. But when it's just a cheap money grab, we got a problem. You know, and you ain't got to worry about me. The internet will come for you. They will put bumblebees and wasps and daggers all on your shit.
Bumblebee was from daggers, yeah. I love it. But yeah, no, I mean, like you said, as long as it's done tastefully, I think everyone's out for a money grab, though. I don't, even when it's done tastefully, I honestly believe if it wasn't.
It's always a money grab.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're doing it because it's like, we really love hip hop. Nah.
It's to a point now where it's like, you should know, okay, yeah, it's a money grab, but there's a way to go about doing it. You know
well,
what
it's
I mean?
it's who they get involved. So it's like the company's like, hey, it's 50 years of hip hop. We need to celebrate this. Let's figure out who we can get that actually knows about the culture and bring them in to do something. Yeah, and create this whatever we have in mind. Let them do something dope and bring it to life for us. And then that's where it's celebrated properly because
They come with their diversity departments and their urban departments and and marketing agencies. They have departments dedicated to Black people, dedicated to Hispanic people, dedicated to women, and dedicated to LGBTQ plus all those letters, because everybody has a political say now, and everybody has their own dollars that they can turn the spigot off and on if they cancel you. So everybody wants everybody's dollars. I want all them dollars, all of them.
Yeah. Every dollar out there. It doesn't matter what color. You know what I'm
saying?
What color,
what gender, what persuasion, what preference. Like, as long as that shit spins, bring it in.
Exactly. As long as I can deposit that shit. Let's go.
Let's go, man. Hey, man. So, like, man, I hope y'all enjoyed our guest, our super special guest, Mr. Emery James, man. Dope super talent. Make sure y'all go follow him, tap in on all the media platforms. Before we get out of here,
extremely intelligent, dog. Like,
extremely intelligent. Yes. That's what I don't like to even stereotype. I'm just saying, I don't like to even stereotype that rappers are not intelligent. That shouldn't even be a thing. He's a rapper and he's extremely intelligent.
I knew it was coming. Yeah.
My thing is, that's where it came from. Like, rappers were known as intelligent people because they were speaking out on stuff, and that's where it came from, in intellect, man, and being witty.
Yeah, and when did it get away from that and it become that rappers were, I guess, maybe in the early 90s and shit, when it turned into gangster rap, you know what I'm saying? And then it became,
you know what, That's a better way to say it, because I was gonna say as soon as it crossed the Mason-Dixon line, shit got a little different.
Oh, no, don't say
I'm
that.
From the South, I'm born in Kentucky, grew up in Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? But I'm
man, looking, I had an argument this weekend with someone about that, man, and they were like, "The South ruined." I was like, "Don't say that shit."
No, because not ruined, because storytelling is still in effect. But what I will say, the South, when the South came in the game, we didn't hold any punches or any bars of the stuff that we was right or not right to be said on wax. We just said what the fuck we felt.
Okay, too short. He wasn't coming, you know, he wasn't preaching, dog. Like, dude, no, his content, so his content was and East and West. The West. And yeah, the West.
As soon as it left the gutters.
Oh no, sir! Don't say you're gonna say as soon as it left New York.
No! I don't even want to say New York, because it was Philly, DMV. As soon as it left the gutters of grunge and not being flashy. As soon as it went from grunge and just being about the wit and the intellect to being about flash and sass and all that other shit, is when people's like, you know what? I don't have to try to each one teach one. I could just say some dope shit.
So maybe it was when money got involved, and when money started getting bigger and bigger, and then it was like, you know what? Because the labels didn't, like Emery was just saying this shit. He was like, they want to see us killing ourselves, killing each other and popping pills. But that shit's been going on forever. You know what I'm saying? Like in the 80s, they were Keeping Up was just telling me about this shit, where they started this whole thing to try to eradicate, you know, like Public Enemy, KRS-One, all these rappers that were spitting knowledge and you know, trying to lead people in the right direction. They came out and they were trying to end that shit, bro. Like, they didn't want people learning and getting this knowledge from these rappers. They want it to be street shit. They want it to be killing and
information controlled the nation, man.
That's it. And I'm, you know, man.
See, that's the thing. It's like, that's my other question. Is like, when did they mind fuck us to the point where learning was not cool anymore? Where like being enlightened was not cool anymore? Where being open minded was lame? When being intellectual wouldn't get you no booty? When did that become a thing?
I don't know, man. I have no clue.
It's like that. We just blinked and they did it. They pulled the wool over our eyes. You know what I'm saying? The shit, that's damn near worse than the damn blankets for smallpox. Shit.
And nobody's favorite said 1992 secret meeting. Yep. I mean, I mean, but this it. Shit, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just still going on, though. That's it. The shit's still going on to this day. He said dudes couldn't get out there.
Before it was like a bad thing to make it explicit, and now it's like they ain't a record out that ain't explicit. It's like, do they even still put that on the front of CD covers? I haven't seen an actual physical CD case in a minute. Like, do they still put the explicit lyrics on the front?
Yeah.
Or they just assume it's all explicit? Or do they just like assume it's all explicit and then they put clean version on it now?
If it's rap, right?
It's rap. It's like.
Yeah. If it's rap, the shit is explicit. I mean, they just put the E next to it now, bro. Like, that's
right. You should know what that means by now.
Yeah, it's like, because most covers are, you know, don't even have. It's like just a picture. It's not even real artwork anymore. Well, so
yeah, even with the streamers, like, you can't even put text or anything on it. You got to send a clean picture that shows your face with no words. So it's like nobody even does that anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the explicit lyrics is still on there. You know what I'm saying? It's still on. Yeah, I think it's the majority of stuff that's still coming out. I don't know. It depends.
But you automatically assume that if it's rap, that, you know, it's going to be some cussing in it, or it's the Disney version.
The Disney version is fucked up.
Google how explicit parental advisory came about.
Oh, yeah, that shit's crazy. That shit's crazy. I did see something about that, too. And we might need to talk about that on Thursday show. That's a good one.
So that's a good one right there.
Yeah, speaking of Thursday shows, every Tuesday and Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Central, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, we are live. Audio Meds, we are live only on AMP, so make sure you hit that notification button, so every time we go live you can tap in with us, tune in. We always have super dope guests joining us. We always talk about really dope, interesting topics of discussion, right, Bobby?
Always.
We love to dig deep. Pause. And then pause. Pause. B.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging deep. Oh man, that's how you got four kids. I got him.
Yes, yes. So, but yeah, nah, man. Make sure you fuck me all up, Bobby. You know what I'm saying? No, like I said, every Tuesday and Thursday. Every Tuesday and Thursday, tune the fuck in. We here. You know what I'm saying?
We here, man. We going nowhere, man. We right here live on Elp, man. Man, tap in, man. Y'all in the chat, man. Make sure y'all tap that heart button, man. Show some love. Make that algorithm do its algorithm thing and show up for more people to click on it, man. You know. But yeah, man, before we get out of here, man, we got one more guest on the line.
Uh-oh.
Boop. Boop.
Paging Dr. Capo. Paging Dr. Capo.
All right, you know what time it is, man. Every dose of audio meds, we gotta hit you with a prescription to leave you for the week, right? Today's Tuesday, so I'm going to give you some motivation to kind of sail through the week. It goes a little something like this. Bobby, you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination.
Say that again, because I'm about to win over some people's head.
I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination.
Man, that being said, you need to be able to pull an audible, you need to be able to pivot, you need to be able to react to what is given and keep that shit going. Don't stop hustling. Don't stop motivating.
Let's go.
Audio meds, they're good for yous.